collaboration.
Innovation.
The next idea.
The world doesn't stop. The world continues to change. So we as people need to change along with it.
All year long, we've been talking with our partner at The Next Idea, Jeff DeGraff, about building a culture of innovation in Michigan. And as the year winds down, let's talk a little bit about what worked and what didn't in 2015. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Zoe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
So you've broken down this year, I love this, very categorical, into three different categories. We've got business, communal, kind of community spaces, and political. Let's start with your forte with business.
Yeah.
What worked?
I think the biggest thing that worked was the automobile industry came back because the economy in general worked.
Right.
So we're back to the middle of the road in terms of unemployment. We're back to car sales where they basically were before the Great Recession, which is very good. I think there's some other tremendous bright spots on the small end of the economy.
Yeah.
If you look particularly at Ann Arbor and Lansing, some studies suggest that we might have more venture capital per person than just about any other place in this country.
Yeah.
I think some of the really bad news is that the automobile industry has gone through this amazing transformation. Probably not enough. Obviously, we had Cadillac leave for New York and our old Fifth Avenue building that they've had there forever.
Right.
And whenever you start losing your forward position, meaning the part that pulls you forward with innovation, you should be seriously alarmed. And, you know, we've got all of these JVs with the software industry. The software industry has gone on record repeatedly complaining how difficult it is to work with the automobile industry. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of that move to the West Coast.
And I see this, that you've got, I mean, in this business section, you have the auto industry both on the bright side and some not so bright side. And I think some of this has to do with the cyclical nature of the auto industry, that how tied into Michigan is, economically and dependent on jobs.
Think about another state in the United States other than maybe Texas and oil, that over 50% of the economy is tied into one industry. And that industry is very sensitive to the economic swings of the country. So the good news is in the same way that we played the upswing, you know, God, you know, cross your fingers, I guess, the downswing is going to have the exact same effect. And so it's being tied to something that you want to build on, but it's maybe being tied in that to that industry a little too closely. And I think the other problem is it's become once again a little more enclosed.
Yeah.
So where a lot of these innovations are not penetrating.
Well,
the industry
and I wonder
very well.
So much again talking about the cyclical nature of the auto industry that this is, you know, are we worried about seeing some repeats of what we saw, you know, in 07, 08, 09, where we become too dependent on the auto industry, and then if there is another crash. Didn't we learn our lesson?
I mean, the answer is yes. I think anybody who's an economist or anybody's looking at the industry would say yes. And are we prepared to go another direction, to go towards diversifying into other more high-tech industries? The answer is, I think we've done some really good things, and I think we've really whiffed on a couple of pitches here. You know, we've shorted MEDC, which was very much working at the smaller and mid-cap end of the economy, so that's been shorted. Education continues to be shorted. We continue to lag way behind in terms of bachelor degrees with our neighboring states. So the whole notion of, did we really prepare ourselves for the future? The good news is we prepared ourselves. The bad news is not nearly enough to get off of the automobile industry in the next 10 years.
Well, good, because you're bridging us back into this, the second grouping on your list, the communal spaces. And let's start with number one on your bright spot, and that is Detroit, 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 as you write.
Yeah, you know, when I first came to Michigan 25 years ago, you couldn't have paid an MBA to stay in Detroit. I mean, they all went to the coast. Now, the best and the brightest, a lot of them want to be in Detroit. It's kind of this really hot thing. And it's not just hot for a social reason or you know, it's not just the next Brooklyn. It's really hot because there's a lot of industries that are happening downtown that are pretty exciting to people. That's a very good sign. And it's a very good sign when you put those entrepreneurs downtown who will create businesses that create employment for a lot more people.
Well, that's what I was going to say, though. Is that enough, though, for, you know, the 700,000 people that's live in Detroit who say, hey, we feel a little bit left out, you know, this tale of two cities?
You know, there's always going to be two issues, aren't there? The first issue is going to be, you know, just like in any other part of America, sadly, regrettably, we have stratification in our society. And, you know, there's been all the reports, is the American dream still viable? So no, it's not going to correct all those issues. But, you know, I would put it this way. What's the alternative? You have to develop an economic engine somewhere. You have to start in a neighborhood somewhere. You have to get points of leverage somewhere and simply continue on and hope that it creates enough types of employment to create, I don't want to say full employment, but fuller employment in those situations. Business can solve some problems. It can't solve all of the kind of social challenges that we've had for a long period of time in this region.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and to harken back to what you were saying, though, about some not so bright spots, and of course, the communal kind of met your business ideas here, because that is, we are seeing cuts to arts education, you say, and continuing to struggle with achievement gaps, particularly in math and science. So what does this say for the next generation of students in Michigan and nationally?
Well, it's very interesting. Years ago, I got to talk to Alan Greenspan, and I asked him,
you said, so Alan, tell me.
Tell me what is the number one indicator you think of a high growth economy? Of course, he's looking at countries.
Right.
And he said the literacy rates of women. And I was stunned. I mean, that's not what an economist says. And I said, why? And he said, because women are the primary teachers of their children. And if the mother reads, the child reads. So one of the challenges that we have in a society that maybe hasn't really put the emphasis on education that maybe we should have over the past 50 years up here, because, you know, people came up here to build cars. Mm-hmm. We really didn't have that culture all throughout, you know, the state that maybe we wanted to have. And so now all of a sudden, we're in a position where we need people who not only are great at math and not only great at science, but also have all this sort of arts education. And I'm not sure that we've established a culture in all the places we need to establish a culture to make that happen. So we have to redouble our efforts. We have to really encourage all of our communities and support all of our communities, even more importantly.
Well, and speaking of supporting all of these communities, you talk about one of the not bright spots in terms of this communal group of things is that there are these metropolitan areas in Michigan, Flint, Pontiac, that have been largely left out of some of these growth opportunities and educational opportunities.
And I think it's a real challenge that we've come up with this, sadly, regrettably, with this either-or strategy. Either the state takes over and tells everybody what's going to happen.
You mean talking about emergency managers?
Yes, emergency managers, et cetera. Or, you know, everything is run locally, but there really aren't any significant changes in how the municipality is run. And, of course, a real answer or solution is going to be some kind of a collaborative effort, a genuinely collaborative effort.
Well, that bridges perfectly then into your third category, which is the political realm, a personal favorite for myself, but you call it an embarrassing subject. You say 2015 has been a year of, quote, gridlock, backroom bullying, extreme red and blue partisanship, and public humiliation. I don't think many people would disagree with you. Talk to me a little bit about politics 2015 from your perspective.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because the last thing a business school professor ever wants to talk about is politics. I'm way out of my depth here. But I have to tell you, because I travel...
You're announcing you're running for office in 2016,
right, Jeff? I'm not doing anything of the sort. I'm not doing anything of the sort. And I spend a lot of time on airplanes. And so what's been interesting is in the past year, there's a lot of people when you're in New York and you're San Francisco, you're all around this country where people say, wow, this is amazing. Detroit's coming back. Is it true? They want to know that. But what happened somewhere around the middle of the year, you started hearing, I hear your roads are like being in a third world country.
Roads.
How about those lovebirds? How interesting that is. And then, you know, their whole editorial. And I have to hear this everywhere. So you have to remember, you know, you're not just talking about a state as the state itself. Your state's reputation also matters. That's how people decide to move businesses in. That's how people decide whether they want to move to your state and have their children grow up here. That's how people make decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think politically, we didn't do ourselves any good service this year in the brand that was represented for the state of Michigan. And the posturing around this has just been intolerable. You know, we're getting the sort of the both sides of this taking these extreme intractable positions. And of course, the problem with that is that it really supersedes practicality with ideology. I mean, I don't know. I'm an old Michigander myself. My big thing is, does it work? You know, does it catch fish? You know, can we do this together? And I don't think I've heard a lot of that in the past.
Well,
year.
Jeff DeGraff, I mean, is Michigan state politics working in 2015? Did it work in 2015?
Well, from my point of view, from one person's point of view, from a business point of view, from an innovation point of view in particular, it worked. From a business and communal point, in spite of the political situation.
In spite of itself.
Yes. So, but I don't, you know, again, what's really key here is my own point of view is I don't see the state being really led by politics ever. That's not even my point of view. States have social ways in which they work. They have economic ways in which they work. And I think those are areas that are bright spots and viable. I think politically we have to catch up.
Well, Jeff, as we wrap this conversation up, let's look forward, shall we? Let's look to 2016 innovation-wise. Let's talk bright spots. What are you looking forward to come 2016?
I would like to see the automobile industry get in front of everyone on this. And we've had some very good announcements. You know, Ford's going to make the 13 hybrids. I'd like to see a Tesla effort here. Mm. I'd like to see the doors open to the software industry. Remember, many of those young people are from our state who are in other places. I'd like to see that open up. I'd like to see us make a genuine effort to build middleware in funding. And what I mean by that is I think the governor's done a very good job in building the angel or the initial investment phase. And I think we do a good job once we're big. I think the middleware is where we're getting beat. I'd love to see us bring in or attract some of the financial community back into the state like it used to be to build those middleware. And the reason is that's where the jobs are.
Yeah.
The jobs are in mid-sized companies and the supply chain. That's where all the jobs are. And they're good jobs.
Right.
They're good paying jobs.
Right. And that's the issue, right? Not just more jobs, more and better jobs, as the governor himself likes to say.
Jobs that you can hang on to. Yeah. Almost finally, we've got to put some real effort and some money back into our schools. We have to pay attention to that next generation. We're really going to be back in the spot again and again and again if we don't solve this problem sort of once for all. And it's not just money. Money doesn't solve the problem, but we've got to figure out how to raise those scores, how to close those achievement gaps, because we need everybody to succeed here. And finally, like everyone else, fix the roads.
I thought they did that, though.
Yeah, right. Okay, from your lips to God's ears, right?
Well, Jeff DeGraff, thank you so much. Our partner at The Next Idea, who brings all sorts of ideas about innovation and what it means to be in Michigan 2015, what it will mean to be a Michigander in 2016. Happy New Year.
You too. Thank you, Zoe.
Thanks, Jeff.